Chapter 61.
Langdon's going to Geneva?
Dr. Elizabeth Sinsky felt increasingly ill as she rocked groggily in the back seat of the van, which was now racing out of Florence, heading west toward a private airfield outside of the city.
Geneva makes no sense,
Sinsky told herself. The only relevant connection to Geneva was that it was the site of the WHO's world headquarters.
Is Langdon looking for me there?
It seemed nonsensical, considering that Langdon knew Sinsky was here in Florence. Another thought now struck her.
My God, is Zobrist targeting Geneva?
Zobrist was a man who was attuned to symbolism, and creating a ground zero at the World Health Organization's headquarters admittedly had some elegance to it, considering his year-long battle with Sinsky. Then again, if Zobrist was looking for a receptive flashpoint for a plague, Geneva was a poor choice. Relative to other metropolises, the city was geographically isolated and was rather cold this time of year. Most plagues took root in overcrowded, warmer environments. Geneva was more than 1,000 feet above sea level and hardly a suitable place to start a pandemic.
No matter how much Zobrist despises me.
So the question remained, why was Langdon going there? The American professor's bizarre travel destination was yet another entry in the growing list of his inexplicable behaviors that began last night. And despite her best efforts, Sinsky was having a very hard time coming up with any rational explanation for them.
Whose side is he on?
Admittedly, Sinsky had known Langdon only a few days, but she was usually a good judge of character, and she refused to believe that a man like Robert Langdon could be seduced with money.
And yet he broke contact with us last night.
Now he seemed to be running around like some kind of rogue operative.
Was he somehow persuaded to think that Zobrist's actions make some kind of twisted sense?
The thought gave her a chill.
No,
she assured herself.
I know his reputation too well. He's better than that.
Sinsky had first met Robert Langdon 4 nights before in the gutted hull of a retasked C-130 transport plane, which served as the World Health Organization's Mobile Coordination Center. It had been just past 7 when the plane landed at Hanscom Field, less than 15 miles from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Sinsky was not sure what to expect from the celebrated academic whom she had contacted by phone, but she was pleasantly surprised when he strode confidently up the gangplank into the rear of the plane and greeted her with a carefree smile.
Dr. Sinsky, I presume.
Langdon firmly shook her hand.
Professor, it's an honor to meet you.
The honor's mine. Thanks for all you do.
Langdon was a tall man, with urbane good looks and a deep voice. His clothing at the moment, Sinsky had to assume, was his classroom attire. A tweed jacket, khaki slacks, and loafers. Which made sense, considering the man had essentially been scooped off his campus with no warning. He also looked younger and far more fit than she'd imagined, which only served to remind Elizabeth of her own age.
I could almost be his mother.
She gave him a tired smile.
Thank you for coming, Professor.
Langdon motioned to the humorless associate whom Sinsky had sent to collect him. Your friend here didn't give me much chance to reconsider.
Good. That's what I pay him for.
Nice amulet, Langdon said, eyeing her necklace. Lapis lazuli?
Sinsky nodded and glanced down at her blue stone amulet, fashioned into the iconic symbol of a snake wrapped around a vertical rod.
The modern symbol for medicine. As I'm sure you know, it's called a caduceus.
Langdon glanced up suddenly as if there was something he wanted to say. She waited.
Yes?
Apparently thinking better of his impulse, he gave a polite smile and changed the subject. So why am I here? Elizabeth motioned to a makeshift conference area around a stainless steel table.
Please sit. I have something I need you to look at.
Langdon ambled toward the table, and Elizabeth noted that while the professor seemed intrigued by the prospect of a secret meeting, he did not appear at all unsettled by it.
Here is a man comfortable in his own skin,